Well, hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, and welcome to the Argyle Podcast. This is Jim from theoffside.com. It's good to be back with you once again. In the middle of a week of Argyle. On Saturday, which is tomorrow now, I'm recording this on Friday morning, on Saturday I will be going to my third Argyle game in a week, which is, you know, a rare and unusual occurrence even for me. Last Saturday, rather than take the easy way out of going down the pub and watching the boys on Sky, I dutifully went out for the early morning kickoff for Cardiff game, and like 11,479 others of you, I was rewarded with a sparkling Argyle first half performance, of which more later, and of course 2 points. What dear do you think this is? It's 1981 again. Three fantastic and much needed points, and on Tuesday evening I made the not quite so long as normal, but still jolly long trip to Southampton for a hard-earned and ultimately quite entertaining 0-0 draw. I should have known that that was how it was going to turn out. I have been to St Mary's now on three of the last four times that we've played there, and on each occasion I've failed to see a score. I've seen 2-0s and a 1-0 defeat, and of course the 1 year I missed was the year we won 2-0 last season. With a really good performance, with Southampton being all over the shop. And they were an interesting side, you know, Southampton. You've got to take your hat off to them, because Portvliet's come in, rightly or wrongly, taking over from Nigel Pearson, and they haven't got any money, even with that enormous stadium. And so he's gone determinedly with his kids from the academy and playing the ball on the ground. I didn't know who half their side were. And certainly not half who half their bench were. And they were knocking it around and playing some really, you know, very entertaining stuff and having a right good go. I suppose if you're going to point the finger, you're going to say there's a bit of a lack of a cutting edge up top. But Bright Phillips and McGoldrick, you know, were certainly giving us some headaches early on in the first half. And Drew Sermon, who's a player I've had a lot of time for a while, really was pulling the strings in midfield. He was sitting deeper and creating space for himself and his through balls, and you know, the way he read the game, I was, you know, really quite impressed by. Far less impressed by the silent Southampton crowd. It's always easy, I think, to be critical of home fans. We're hardly the most boisterous at Home Park ourselves. But for a ground like that to be filled with barely 14,000 people, none of whom you didn't seem to want to say anything at all, even when Southampton had really nailed on chances, was a bit pathetic, really. And the Green Army were at their most sardonic in pointing this out to the Southampton fans. And my youngest was particularly entertained with, say, the Green Army's observations that Southampton's ground was too big for them and that empty seats were here, there and everywhere. For Argyle, really the game changed when Sturrock, unusually for him, made a double substitution early in the second half, replacing Fallon and Mackie, who'd been particularly ineffective, with Gallagher and Noon. And straight away, the whole dynamic, the whole tempo, the whole atmosphere of the game changed. And it was really Argyle who were mainly on the front foot from then on. Craig Noon, everyone has said so much about him since his winning goal at Coventry. He really has to be ahead of Mackie now, I think, in the starting, in the bench stakes. He has the thing that Mackie doesn't have, which is the ability to go past a player by beating them rather than just through sheer pace. His enthusiasm and vitality, you know, for my money, he looks a better prospect. As hard as Jamie Mackie works and, you know, the amount of effort that he gives, you know, I'm starting to wonder if he has actually got what it takes to be, you know, a regular starter at this level. I think, like I said, there's more of a case to be made there for Craig Noon. And that is who I would be going with were I Paul Sturrock. And Gallagher, what can you say? What a class act. Holding the ball up, bringing people into play, orchestrating, you know, everything, really. It really was an absolute delight. You know, and, you know, only sort of tarnished by the fact that we failed to stick one away. Having said that, you know, given the chances that Saints had had in the first half and one particularly heart-stopping moment in the second half when McGoldrick, I think, broke away, went round Lario, only to have his shot cleared off the line. Yeah, I think we're quite happy with an away point. Win your home games, draw your away ones. That, as people keep telling us, is promotion form. And again, the Cardiff game, the first half, many of you will have been there. Others of you will have seen on the telly. We were absolutely unstoppable first half. Pace, enthusiasm, movement. What Mpenza brings to the game is movement. And all of a sudden, because Mpenza is moving, the people around him are moving. Fallon was far more mobile than I think I've ever seen him. And, just a couple of standout performances to mention. Chris Clark, who, must be our most improved player this season. And also when he came on in the second half, Steve McLean, who on the basis of that deservedly got a start against Southampton and really ought to be up there to start on Saturday, tomorrow against Blackpool. The notion of an Argyle side that had a front three of McLean and Mpenza and Gallagher, really very, very exciting. And I think that the thing about Gallagher is notionally we line up as an orthodox 4-4-2, but he's coming off that left wing Gallagher and just floating out all over the place. And the Cardiff defenders really didn't know how to pick him up or where he was going to be or really how to deal with the system at all. And, that is far more attacking, really, than Sturridge is used to playing. He much prefers either the straightforward sort of two banks of four and two up or the 4-4-1-1 with the one striker up and the second striker playing, rather deeper. So this whole, what would you call it, 4-3-1-2, I suppose, is what it is, with Gallagher floating as a free agent, doing, I don't know, kind of the Wayne Rooney bit, I suppose, that Man United do sometimes, is unusual for us. And it's exciting to watch, though, admittedly, it does leave us a bit open at the back. So what about Blackpool then? Well, they have done something that we have failed to do, which is exploit the loan market just before deadline day. They picked up three new players. Liam Dickinson, who's kind of championship career hasn't really got off the ground yet. He was signed from Stockport by Derby and then immediately loaned out to somebody else, Huddersfield, I think, as he was deemed to be, whatever it was, not quite ready for the big Derby promotion push, which we still await. And now he's come back from that loan at Huddersfield. He's now been loaned to Blackpool, a big, powerful striker in the Fallon mode. We were interested, apparently, at one stage last season. In the end, he decided to go for Derby, but so it hasn't really t started for him yet. I imagine he has come in to challenge or indeed to replace Ben Burgess, who for some reason has always got goals, but if anything, is even less mobile than the Barnsley striker John Parkin. So, yeah, Dickinson and also picked up the young Kyle Reid from West Ham, who's been on the fringes of their side for a while and fairly sure he had a part to play in the League Cup game last season that Argyle was so narrowly beaten in. Wide player, bags of skill, bags of pace, could present one or two problems for us on Saturday. And the third loanee they've picked up is our very own Graham Stack. Now, I must confess, I'm not completely clear as to why we're lending Blackpool our reserve goalie in order for him to be their reserve goalie, but I'm sure it makes sense to somebody somewhere. And if he's off our wage bill, then so much the better. He won't be playing on Saturday. There's a clause in the deal preventing that. And he's also on a 24-hour recall should anything happen to Lario. Blackpool, having stayed up, really, with one or two heart-stopping moments last season, have made a rather better start there. But it's started to tail off now. And they've lost a couple of three on the bounce. And the fans are starting to look nervously over their shoulders. They've got some cracking players, no doubt about that. Gary Taylor-Fletcher, who gets most of their goals from that sort of attacking midfield position. Liverpool loanee Adam Hamill has been a regular starter for them and been drawing the pundits. And also old stager, he is now, I suppose, isn't he? Yeah, Lee Hendry apparently has settled in very well in the midfield. A bit powder puff up front, which is presumably why they've brought in Dickinson to try to give them an extra edge, and prone to conceding bizarre goals at the back. They lost in the summer their big centre half Casper Gorkes to QPR, and since signing, Gorkes has barely started for the Hoop. So I'm not quite sure what's gone on there, and lost him for very silly money as well, as indeed they did Wes Houlihan. So they haven't had an awful lot of success with the transfer dealings thus far. Argyle, you would imagine, without Carl Duguid, who's still injured and going to be out until the new year, I imagine Johan Folie will continue to deputise. He's certainly not done anything in the two games he's played so far to suggest that he's not up to it, or he shouldn't be given further opportunity. McNamee still out. Will he ever be fit? Will he ever be fit? And but other than that, the questions I think are all about up front. Will he play the Mpenza McLean Gallagher? Will it be Mpenza Fallon Gallagher? How exactly is he going to line up? I hope very much that Luggy continues in this attacking frame of mind, that we continue to go with this 4-3-1-2 system, with Gallagher, let's say, floating behind two people up there. It just gives us so much more option through the middle of the field. and like I said, I would certainly be picking Craig Noone over Jamie Mackie. Looking forward, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks to having some guests on the podcast. Sam Down, who you may know from Sam's Argyle blog, is going to be putting something together for me. That's a little hint in your direction, Sam, in case you're listening. And also, I'm hoping in the fullness of time that Rob McNichol from Football 365, and also from the Argyle programme, he does a column about refereeing in there, is going to have something to say for us as well. Until next time, then, be safe, be lucky, and keep it green. Thanks for listening.